the blockchain makes total sense, and made up nonsense money to me does not.
That's a fair comment. I'm sure there's going to be people that will debate you on all of that.
I'm Scott McGrew. Welcome to Sand Hill Road.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
M13, I'm assuming that's named after the star?
That is the most insightful. I've never actually had anyone get that right off the bat. But yes, Messier 13, that's exactly how it's named.
And how did that come about?
It's a Salvadorian gang
reappropriation. It's either a very, very important part of the galaxy or a Salvadorian gang. Yeah. How did it come about?
Pick your own adventure.
This week on Sand Hill Road, Carl Alomar, who is definitely not the leader of a dangerous Central American criminal enterprise. As managing partner at M13, Alomar makes early stage investments. How did that come about, that name?
The idea of the name is that the Messier 13 is the brightest galaxy of stars in the sky, brightest cluster. And the idea is that the brightness of any of the individual stars the brightness of the galaxy is greater than the brightness of the individual stars added together.
I call Carl up because we've all been asking ourselves, with the economy showing us mixed signals, where does venture go from here?
It's a question we ask ourselves every day. But yes, the interesting thing is there's a significant amount of money sitting on the sidelines. We know that investors want to invest. We see it ourselves. We have to put our money to work. The situation right now is that I think everybody is really taking their time. They have time as opposed to where we were a year ago, where every deal was rushed. And so they're being very analytical, very careful, and everyone's trying to pick the best companies. But it is a challenging time to raise money.
Now, you said, this is a time to be careful. It's a time to, pick companies carefully. Well, but all times are times to pick companies carefully.
They are. But the reality of the situation is when you go into a hot market where everybody's trying to invest, then you get people fighting tooth and nail for participation in a round. And as a result, you do get into situations where you do get confident and comfortable with the company, but you don't have the opportunity to do the level of diligence you'd want to do in a typical investment. And so you're forced into quick decisions in some cases. Today, that doesn't happen. But historically, that has been the case, especially in the last 2-3 years where the market's been so hot. So I think now, firms like ours essentially have the luxury of really being able to spend time and get to know companies before making their investments rather than being rushed into decisions before they're truly ready to make those decisions.
When times were flush, were you making quick decisions and did you end up regretting any of them?
Luckily, we haven't regretted any decisions. I would say we have probably in a couple of different occasions been forced into moving quicker than we would have typically wanted to move. Yes.
This kind of advantage venture capital, right? I mean, as opposed to advantage startup.
I think it's healthier on both sides. I think it's healthier on us because we're actually able to build relationships with companies and get to know them better and make much more kind of clear decisions on who we love and who we want to support. But I also think for the founders as well, instead of being bombarded by 100 different venture firms that are all sell, 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 you're actually getting to know the people that are going to sit across the board table from you for the next 5-10 years, and you're getting to understand them much better and understand the way they think. And I think that's a huge advantage as well. Whereby in the old days, it's like everybody's throwing all their credentials at you, and you kind of, you know, even as a founder, might end up making the wrong decision in terms of who you want to be funded by.
That's true. It was a speed dating sort of to it on both sides. The venture was competing with each other for what startup they could grab, but then the startups were overwhelmed with the number of venture that they were being offered.
Yes, it worked both ways for sure.
So what do you need to see if you are going to do a follow-on fund or you're going to do a new investment? What do you need to see in this environment out of a startup?
So I think they're two different things. I think with the follow-on funds, we know these companies really well, and we understand our thesis on the companies, and really what we need to see in that regard is a validation of our thesis. Like, do we truly believe that these companies can build what they're saying they build? Is their validation with their customers? You know, we're intimately working with them every day. The key thing is to try and divorce emotion from the discussion and really focus on like true value of the business. And that's what we try and do in terms of our follow-on investments. But for us, it's relatively obvious where companies feel like they have real potential, but are not. But the market condition is getting in the way of them raising money, and we do what we can in those situations, not only to put our money in, but also to help them, you know, fill that round and secure capital from other places in the meantime. From an outside investment standpoint, I don't think the rules have changed. I think you know, we're still looking for great teams. We're still looking for great market categories that are, you know, defining businesses within particular market categories, good metrics, good validation on as many fronts as possible. Do they have customers? Do they have revenue? You know, is the product impactful in the market? So a lot of the same things. I think that it just gives us the ability to be a lot more detailed in understanding that. So we speak to customers, we speak to stakeholders, we get a much better feel for how the business is running as a whole. And that gives us much more confidence in, you know, the opportunity and the outcome.
What recommendations do you have to companies that are not getting funding, who either can't get follow-up funding or decide maybe they don't want it?
Well, you know, it's very different for different types of companies. So, you know, for companies that are saying, I'm going to need to go to the market a year from now to raise money, then my biggest suggestion is start building those relationships today. You want, you know, insiders as well as outside potential investors to get to know you and get to know the company early, so that when the decision time comes, it's very easy for them to make a decision. For companies that are, that are short of capital and wanting to go to market quickly, but not seeing the opportunity or not getting the opportunity, I mean, it's a tough road. If they don't have a lead inside investor that has the ability to do an inside round, then they're really challenged to go out and find new investors. And it definitely is a question of, numbers. Like, you know, you have to speak to a lot of people, you have to connect to a lot of people, you have to just kind of work and push those walls down until you get to, you know, you only need one yes, you only need one firm to believe in you. And so you do have to do the work to get that done. But it's challenging. I mean, often I get asked the question, should companies, you know, cut half their staff and this, that, and the other? And in some cases, yes, they need to. But when you only have 2-3 months of money or 2 months of money, you know, how much are you going to extend by, you know, giving up 10% of your cost? It's not the thing that's going to save you. But ultimately, you need to find that capital.
You need to be able to go about 24 months, you've recommended.
I'd say from the point of investment, yes. From the point of investment, 24 months. I mean, you can't say 24 months forever, because if you're 12 months into having raised money, then you're not going to have 24 months left. But I think the goal right now is, from the point of investment, have at least 24 months of breathing room. And then obviously, if the markets turn, you may be able to opportunistically raise money, you know, well before that.
You had said to Bloomberg that this is different than it was in 2008 in the global financial crisis, that there was no money to be had back then, but now the money's just sitting on the sideline.
Yes, absolutely. Night and day difference. And so I was a founder back in those days. Now I'm an investor. So I've kind of sat on both sides of the table there. But back in the 2008 era, all the money dried up. There was literally no money to go around. And so everybody was really just struggling to navigate how they were going to get through, and they didn't have avenues to find money. I think the way the market is now is you kind of see the market on a temporary pause. And one of the key things to think about is, as long as there's a huge amount of volatility in the valuation set that companies are using to assess your business, so the public market's volatile, there's no real stability, then, you know, you going out to try and pull money or try and get a valuation from an investor is going to be challenging. And so the investors are going to basically be nervous about how to set price, how to do these things. It's on pause. But as the market stabilizes, so if we go into Q1, Q2, and we see the, you know, the stabilization of the equity markets and the slow growth again of technology stocks, then that gives a baseline for investors to start investing again. And you know they're going to need to invest. So right now it's a patience game. It's like how you know, you have to survive through the time frame. Back in 2008, we didn't even know if the financial markets were ever going to come back. And it was more about trying to figure out how can businesses survive. And I think, you know, I ended up being acquired back then. And I think there was probably a lot of M&A going on, just of companies that knew that they weren't going to be able to continue to fund through venture sources.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Are there things you've done at M13 to batten down the hatches, so to speak?
With our portfolio, yes. I think a lot of our focus this year has been on internal portfolio companies and thinking about how to help them navigate the environment. You know, as a firm, I think, you know, we're lucky in that we're a fund. We have fixed revenue. We have fixed, you know, fee structure. So we are able to continue to provide the same level of support to our portfolio companies as we were, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago. But in terms of how we think about deploying our capital, we think about, you know, the best companies in our portfolios and how we can support them, follow on funding. And then we think more modestly about how do we continue to roll out investments into new businesses. And so there is a slight change in the way that we approach, you know, our model and our business to kind of accommodate for the market condition.
You've invested in cryptocurrency and Bitcoin businesses. Is that something you would do again?
Yes, I think we still believe. So just to be clear, most of our investments are actually infrastructure in crypto. And so we really believe in the infrastructure of blockchain and the future of that and the applications of that into the future. There are more speculative opportunities for investment out there around, you know, tokenization and things that
I think one of the worst things that happened to the blockchain was cryptocurrency.
Yeah, perhaps.
The blockchain makes total sense, and made up nonsense money to me does not.
That's a fair comment. I'm sure there's going to be people that will debate you on all of that. I probably align closer to you just in the sense of, you know, there are too many coins out there. There are too many. There's, I think, 18,000 different coins out there. The value in a lot of the NFT projects out there, I think, is hard to find. But, you know, there are diamonds in the rough. You know, there are gems out there that you can find that have real, you know, solid technology, solid value. And I think if you find those, there is value there. Ultimately, though, I'm personally a real believer in the infrastructure side of it. You know, if you can invest in things that will feed the future blockchain environment, kind of the Web3 environment, then those will survive when, you know, the application layer of things may, you know, may consolidate or may fade away over time.
You, in an interview, you said one of your regrets was not taking cryptocurrency from a company called NBA Top Shop. They offered you $1 million in coins instead of taking equity, and you took the equity. Have you tracked the value since?
Well, we didn't take the equity. It was actually a, they didn't give us the option of equity. It was invest in the coin or nothing. NBA Top Shop, yeah. I mean, at the point that we were being offered the $1 million, I think there was a peak moment where it was worth $360 million or something. I wouldn't call it a regret. I think the question that I was asked was, you know, is there a deal you think you missed? That you would have.
Okay, so you did not. You ultimately did not end up taking a position in Top Shop because they would only offer the coin.
Exactly, and at the time, I think the regret was that we weren't thinking about, you know, the ever evolving investment marketplace and the type of asset that we were willing to invest in and buy. I mean, since then we've done a number of deals where there's been a combination of equity and tokens and things like that, but. At that time, it was the very first one that came across, and we were just very, very hesitant about the idea of taking a token position rather than agile equity in the business. The business has boomed. I mean, it's done incredibly well. Obviously, the markets as a whole are fluctuating pretty significantly, but as I said, there was a time where it was a $360 million value from a potential $1 million check, and at that moment in time, which is probably when I was asked the question, obviously, it would have been nice to return our overall fund plus some from one small investment, and that would have been a good outcome.
But you haven't tracked the worth of it since.
I don't know the worth of it today, but I do know obviously it's come down significantly from there. But it still, even today, would be a very valuable return on the $1 million investment.
But do you think? Obviously, we want to get rid of, you know, crypto exchanges and things that are not working with the world honestly, et cetera. But do you see this shakeout as being healthy?
Yeah. I mean, shakeouts often are healthy. It goes back to what you said. I think a lot of the projects and a lot of the businesses out there are, you know, a house of cards, and they're building, you know, unsustainable, you know, constructs for token valuation or NFTs or whatever it is, or coin valuation. And so I think having a shakeup that makes people think about, okay, let's look at true value and look at what provides utility. Those are the things that will survive the long run. And one of the key theses of kind of how I think about investing is I don't really care if something's going to boom. You know, NBA Top Shop as an example, I don't really care if it booms in a year. I want to know what it's going to look like 5 to 10 years from now. That's our investment horizon. And I want to make sure that, you know, we've seen so many businesses flare up and then disappear. You want businesses that have sustaining power and have the ability to build, you know, multi-billion, deca-billion valuations in the 5 to 10 years ahead, rather than something that's going to create like a quick return a year from now. And so I just think it's a healthier investment philosophy to think about, you know, the fundamentals of a business and how that's going to really create value over the long term.
What makes you happy in this job? What makes you excited to go to work on a Monday morning?
So I love this job. It's the best job I've ever had. I've spent, you know, prior to this job, 20-ish years, slightly more than 20 years running companies myself, founded two of them, was COO at the third, DigitalOcean. And doing that is the hardest job in the world. Taking that knowledge and that experience and everything that I've gained and all the relationships and everything that I've built over those years, and giving that, you know, sitting day to day with, a series of young, energetic, innovative, super smart entrepreneurs and helping them navigate through the challenges that I had to go through so that they can accelerate through them far better and achieve far bigger things than I have achieved is the most exciting thing that I could ever wish for. And I think every Monday morning, coming in and knowing that I'm going to speak to these really creative and just inspiring founders all week and navigate problems on a day-to-day basis is just very exciting for me, a lot of fun, very, very rewarding.
Carl Alomar, managing partner at M13. Sandhill Road is produced by Sean Myers under the leadership of Sarah Bueno and Stephanie Adruni. For more interviews with Silicon Valley's most influential entrepreneurs, check me out on TV at Press Here. That's Sunday mornings on NBC Bay Area and everywhere in the world on iTunes and at PressHereTV.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.